Do any commissioners have a conflict of interest, bias, or ex parte contact to declare?
No.
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 I have something to declare, or at least to put on the record, which is I have other projects that I am engaged in with Holst, not the Paul Treatment Center, but some other development work, and I am frequently in Holst's office. I have never studied DePaul while I've been there, and we've had no conversation about DePaul. Does anyone in the hearings room object to my participating in this design advice request?
No.
No.
And there are no raised hands in the audience? Great, and we will proceed. So a design advice request is a form of early assistance. It is intended to provide feedback on early design concepts before a land use application is submitted. The feedback is advisory and preliminary in nature. This meeting is not a land use review, nor a final decision on the project. Commission comments are based on the information provided by staff, the public, and the project team prior to this meeting and through discussion today. Feedback given today will consider the allowances in the zoning code currently in effect. It is possible that the code could change before the land use application submittal, and those changes could affect the proposal. The land use review application will be reviewed based on the zoning code in effect when an application is submitted. So the process for presenting information is as follows. Staff will start the meeting by outlining the current applicable zoning standards, the area context, and the anticipated approval criteria. The project team will then present their concept, and staff will wrap up the presentation with topics to prompt commission's discussion. Public comments are welcome. Is there anyone here today to provide public comment? I'm looking to the back of the room to see if anyone raises their hand. If there is anyone who would like to provide public comment, please sign up. Brian has the sign up sheet. Nobody's raising their hand. That means I'm not going to provide additional information on how to comment well. The Design Commission appreciates everyone's participation. Portland has a strong design legacy that continues through this process. Early input on significant projects helps to make sure we get it right. So once again, EA19115255DA, and Hannah Bryant is the planner assigned to this case.
Hi there. All right, we'll jump right in here. This site is located at the intersection of Southeast 100 and 2nd Avenue and Southeast Cherry Blossom Drive in the Gateway Plan District. It is also in the Gateway Pedestrian District and the newly founded Gateway Bicycle District. It is zoned CI2 with a D overlay. That is the Campus Institutional 2 zone. This site was previously part of the Adventist Master Plan. It is now completely separated from that master plan and is being sold and will not be owned by Adventist. The approval criteria here are the Gateway Regional Center design guidelines. There's a 120-foot base height and a 4-to-1 base FAR. This proposal does not come close to the maximum height or FAR. The site has a number of constraints that we will talk about throughout the presentation. A few of them include a BES easement through Southeast Yamhill Street, which is shown as that white line, the east-west white line that bisects the site. Public street and easement on all sides, modifications as a result of both the site and modification requests as a result of the site and the program, and a pretty noticeable grade change. The site slopes up to the north. Going over the street classifications, Southeast Cherry Blossom Street is a city bikeway, a local service walkway, a major transit priority street, a district collector, a bus line street, and a major emergency response street. Southeast 102nd is a local service walkway, local service bikeway, minor emergency response street. And Southeast Yamhill Street, the east-west street there, is proposed to be vacated. It is currently an unimproved street. But the BES easement that runs through it will remain. So the ability to build on top of it is very limited. And in exchange for supporting the street vacation, PBOT would require an east-west pedestrian connection somewhere across the site. The two green lines that I've put on the zone map are existing north-south pedestrian connections. So you'll see on the applicant's site plan the proposal to put an east-west connection would connect these two existing north-south pedestrian connections. The area is an interesting mix of lots of retail. The retail to the top left here is Mall 205. There is retail across the street and then residential that almost borders the site. And all of the red is medical that's affiliated with Adventist. I feel like I missed one slide here. Come back. Sorry, I'm gonna do something for a second here, I think. Okay, sorry. Wanted to make sure I didn't lose one of my slides. So the site is, as I said, a sloping, or a gently sloping site. These tall trees are at the north point of the triangular shaped site. This is the intersection of 102nd, which goes off to the right in this image, and Southeast Cherry Blossom, which goes off to the left. As you go down below those trees, the site opens up, and it's currently a couple of single family homes and a lot of open space. And this is looking north, still on Cherry Blossom, at the grade change there. And this is what 102nd looks like now. At the pre-app, the applicant was told by PBOT that they would be required to improve all of 102nd and build it out as a full street. It sounds like that may be still an ongoing conversation that they can provide more detail on. But currently, as you look down 102nd, the site would be to the left, and just beyond the trees that you see on the right is the back of Home Depot and the Mall 205 buildings. Here's the slide I was looking for before. This is the Gateway Master Street Plan. This is significant because the yellow is our site that we're discussing today, and all of those dashed streets to the left are proposed streets through the Mall 205 site. So if that were to come back in for full redevelopment, these would be the streets that would be required. Do you have a question?
So many.
Yeah, okay.
We
can come back to this. So you're seeing the existing north-south PED connections on either side of the street, and then what could be a lot of new streets. So I put this in here because it's obviously an important contextual question. We're currently, 102nd is a totally a back of house condition, windowless walls behind Home Depot, but it could be kind of a front entry into an all new neighborhood were that site to be redeveloped.
Hannah?
Yes.
Before you leave this slide.
Yeah.
So the PED connections, they're at 102nd and then whatever the street is.
104th.
Mm-hmm. Those, PBOT has no intention for those to ever become improved rights of way.
No.
Okay.
Perfect segue.
Done.
Magic.
There we go. Great. Thanks for having us. This is Kevin Volk from Holst Architecture. Address is 110 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, 97214.
And I'm Corey Hobbecker, Holst Architecture, same address.
Thanks to the commission for having us today. Appreciate you taking the time for this advice request. We're going to power through in 20 minutes the information that we have, which matches the packet that is in front of you as well. So a little background on DePaul quickly so that you everybody understands the program. DePaul has been serving the Portland community since 1977. They provide chemical dependency treatment services to adults, youth, and family, and currently in three different locations throughout the city. Their adult treatment facility is at 13th and Washington in the Southwest. They have an outpatient facility in Hillsborough and a youth program in the Northeast at 42nd and Killingsworth. The goal of this project will be to move the adult facility from downtown to the east side, to this location. So they would be selling that location and moving their operations. And so this is to provide a new facility to serve that as well as outpatient. So outpatient in Hillsborough would also be combining into one area. One of the goals for the future is to provide the youth services on this site as well. So that's one of the challenges with the site. It is not currently figured into the area or the design that we have shown as far as the building mass. We'll talk about where that could happen in the future. So as our packet says, it's the current program is 55,000 square feet and serving what is essentially four different parts of the program. There is the outpatient program, which is a large chunk of the program. There's residential treatment facilities, which is a 30 to 60 day in-house program in both male and female wings. There is a detox facility with a medical component, and then there is the administration facilities that serves the entire organization. So those four programs are intermingling in this building along the courtyard and through this building in a variety of ways that we're going to try to do a little explanation on. The future youth program, as I mentioned, right now is looking at being on the north side of the site, adjacent or across from the sewer easement into where we're showing a private outdoor courtyard at the moment. So.
So this diagram sort of explains many of the constraints of the site, in addition to those that Hannah mentioned. And the yellow indicates the normal sort of PBOT dedications that are going to be required for right-of-way improvements. There is the Yamhill right-of-way that bisects the site, which we're seeking to be vacated. The yellow through down the middle of that is the sewer easement that she mentioned. There's an existing sewer line that serves those houses. And if the Mall 205 site were to be developed, that might be a main for the waste in that area. The pedestrian connection on the south that was mentioned before is located there to kind of maximize the utility of the two existing pedestrian connections that connect from Main up to Cherry Blossom and up to 102nd. 102nd is along the left there. You saw a photograph of it earlier. It's undeveloped at this time, and our design is configured so that we don't have to use it for emergency services or site access. The other issue, and it was mentioned earlier, is the slope that begins at about the Yamhill right of way. It begins to slope up quite a bit to the north, and there's a stand of really lovely trees up there that we're going to try to preserve as well. The south portion of the site is relatively flat and has good proportions for our building program. Next slide. So here you can see our proposed site plan. I'll go through these points kind of one at a time. The building entry is facing south. That is to access the parking. We'll talk a bit about why the parking is configured as it is in a moment, but sort of convenient access to the parking lot and also to address and face the pedestrian crossing that we're proposing installing. There's also a lot of concern from DePaul's point of view because they have very strict privacy requirements for their client groups. And so having a street-facing entry, a primary street-facing entry, is a concern from them because they don't want public kind of wandering in an uncontrolled fashion. Number two is the private outdoor space. So because we're sort of focusing all of our site development attention on the south side, we're trying to use some of that existing landscape to our advantage and create a private outdoor space for health and healing for the clients and the staff. Loading is on sort of the back corner of the building on the west side because of the parking configuration, and we're trying to address Cherry Blossom as strongly as we can. Placing sort of loading and utility spaces in the back makes a lot of sense. The parking wraps building, again, because we're trying to present a good urban edge to Cherry Blossom, the parking kind of ends up on the what we're sort of considering the less urban side of the site. And then again, the pedestrian path connecting those two existing pedestrian paths, trying to fill in the pedestrian network on this large block. Next slide, please. Here is a same diagram, but with different callouts for the what we're thinking might be anticipated modifications. So I'm going to go through these in a slightly different order because three of them are really similar and probably a bigger set of concerns when it comes to this commission. Ground floor window standards, the fence standard for this district, and the requirement and gateway for entrances on the street. We're proposing modifications to all three of those because of the site conditions, because of DePaul's need for privacy and confidentiality of their clients. An entry on Cherry Blossom is problematic. Ground floor windows are going to be challenging. We've placed as much as we can program that can be somewhat more public along Cherry Blossom, but there's still concerns when there's client groups in those spaces. And then the fence standard, if the clients are out in that that private outdoor space, their confidentiality must be maintained. And so we are thinking that there may be a need for fence with greater than 50% opacity. And for all of these things, we're looking at maybe more landscape screening between the building and the right of way, working with you on accommodations for that. The other issues are setback on 100 Second. Again, we're trying to take advantage of the more buildable portion of the site. Our building isn't quite big enough to kind of expand in front both on 100 Second and Cherry Blossom, so we're proposing pulling it back from 100 Second and presenting our urban face to the more urban condition. The loading standard, simply because two type A spaces are far more than they need. They really just have intermittent food deliveries occasionally. Number three is the vehicle areas not allowed between the street and the building in a pedestrian district. This one we're not entirely certain applies because there are exceptions for through lots, and I'm not sure if this is considered a through lot. We haven't gotten an answer to that question yet. But if it were not considered a through lot or a corner lot, that would apply. So again, perhaps additional landscaping to kind of create a buffer for the parking.
So what we're going to do is walk through some of our previous massing. We've been working in schematic design for approximately 2 months and have gone through a number of iterations. We've tried to narrow that down for the packet even further than what we had gone through with the client. But we went through a number of iterations that shows different approach to the building, entrance locations, both to the site and to the building, some with trying to take over the sewer easement or lose the sewer easement that goes through the existing Yamhill. We determined that wasn't going to be feasible, so we've stuck with the sewer easement being through the center of the site and bisecting it to create a larger portion to the south and a smaller triangular shape to the north. We continue to study a number of these. There's four from this scheme that we thought had some things that we wanted to continue to look at. So after the first couple meetings, we narrowed that down to from 8 to 4. And these all started taking on a similar thread where the entrance was on the south side of the building with the idea of a connection through to Cherry Blossom, and whether it was a physical connection with a street or a gestural connection in an architectural sense to the neighborhood, but all with a connection to a courtyard space that was created by the shape of the building. So there was a couple of these that I think we all felt worked better and gave more of a sense of open space to that courtyard, or at least a variety of open and closed space, but less sort of bridging that line between fully enclosed by building and just completely open yard. So 4 went to 2 with a lot of work in between, essentially two very similar schemes. One was a three-story scheme, one was a two-story scheme. The three-story scheme obviously had a smaller footprint, but took the admin facility and put it up on the third floor. We went back and forth on some pricing exercises and understanding of building type, and have narrowed that down to the two-story scheme so that we could get this project built. To be honest, three-story scheme was very inefficient, created more of a separation between 102nd and the building, and had challenges for building type in our construction costs. So so we focused on the two-story scheme. And the heart of all of these schemes as we worked through it became this central lobby space. We're also referring it to as the hearth or the spine, but it essentially becomes an organizing element through the project that is connecting the varied program pieces and providing access to those different program pieces from some key central elements like the front desk in the lobby. And we're utilizing that to then act as a connection from the pedestrian circulation along the south side of the site into the building. With the MAX train located where it is, and hopefully the addition of sidewalks through some other projects in the neighborhood along Main, pedestrian access from that MAX train is going to be coming along 102nd, the walkway that is where 102nd would be south of our site along the Adventist Medical Building. And so the pedestrian access point at that south south property line allows a continuation of that path into the building. The rest of the pedestrian circulation along 102nd for the buses, we also feel is coming from the southeast of the site, and so therefore could have access along the pedestrian connection along the east side of the property or through the parking lot to the south entry. We're also utilizing that central space to break down the scale of the building. We understand that we've got a large site and currently have a long building. We are looking at ways to define that and break the scale. And this is the first response to that, as utilizing that lobby space to do it, both along Cherry Blossom and along the south elevation, and create a strong identity to where the entrance would be from the parking lot. What we're showing currently as a building, as far as windows and even massing, is very schematic in nature, so I want to just sort of be clear, we're not proposing a white building with vault windows that don't have any transparency. We are just trying to represent some scale of the building so we can all see that clearly, but also providing the highlight of what we think is of the design through that central space. In both of the slides above, you can see the private space. The private courtyard space that is going to the north of the building and carves into the building itself. So there's a protected courtyard space that's protected by the building, and more open courtyard or more open public or private courtyard space to the north. As Corey mentioned, the fencing for that we feel is going to have to be fairly opaque in nature to keep privacy strong. So we're looking at how to integrate that into the building to create it as part of the design and sort of a stretching of the facade. Also options for landscaping and things that we can obscure that from the street. We haven't gone through much of a design process on that actual element. We've got our landscape architect on board, and we're going to be starting a design process for that in the coming weeks. We've got a couple other slides here as well that show the view from more at grade. So the top view is from Cherry Blossom, and so you're seeing the breakdown of that scale with the lobby central space coming through. And we're also trying to represent a fair amount of dense landscape along the building facade so that, we're hoping to utilize a series of screening techniques to provide privacy into the building. Rather than have shades drawn at all times into those spaces, which is a concern of ours for the windows that we provide. Also, Corey mentioned we're trying to get the most public spaces that we have in the program to that elevation on the ground floor, a multi-purpose room that can be used by the community, can be rented out, but also some family therapy where families will be coming in to meet with their families in the space. So we felt like that was a good program piece to be putting along that facade. Here's on the upper view, a little bit closer shot of the lobby, and you're seeing the sense of that space carrying through. So this is the south elevation. And then the bottom view from the southwest of the long south elevation, which we need to break down and scale. But also building massing is starting to imply some cover along the route into the building along the parking. Some plans that are still being developed, but you can see at the ground floor plan, this gray area six is this lobby family gathering space that's connecting through the building and providing that open double height space. So this opens to the second floor. So there's a sense of this being the very sort of center of the building. And then we're breaking the program down into the different areas. So yellow is outpatient, orange is intake, blue is medical, darker gray is detox. Admin is the lighter gray with a separate entry that we can discuss more over to the west off the parking lot. And then multi-purpose and family therapy along the north facade. And then dining and kitchen off of the courtyard to the north as well. The second floor is admin on the far west, male residential treatment on the south wing, female residential treatment on the north wing, and then shared meeting, exercise, and art room spaces wrapping around an interior courtyard that here is just on the second floor. Designs progressed where that courtyard's coming through the building now to create a courtyard at the ground floor as well, but that's the breakdown of the program that we currently have. With some roof decks as well showing up on the second floor, all trying to be part of that central space that's protected. So protected courtyards are roof decks rather than open to the street or the parking lot, so we can ensure the privacy and protection of that. And I think we're a minute and 50 seconds under time.
Nice. All right. So as the staff memo indicated, mostly what we collectively are looking for some guidance on here today is a number of modifications that may be requested. So my breakdown here, I'll just go through it quickly. It's the same as the memo that you received last week. I'd like to talk today about the site plan, the location of the entrances and the open space, and the pedestrian easement, understanding that there is this additional BES easement that bisects the site. You know, I just want to get some direction on the site plan. The site entry and egress, whether site should be taken from Southeast Cherry Blossom or Southeast 102nd. PBOT has indicated support for either option. So it would really just be if one of them has a stronger response to the guidelines. And would love to hear guidance on the loading modification that the applicant has indicated wanting. And it sounds like there's a modification and an adjustment. So an adjustment from two standard A's to standard B's. Is that the thought? And then also that they the modification would be that they wouldn't be able to exit in a forward motion, that these spaces would need to back into the other space. And PBOT has indicated support for that also. Public realm, Transit Street main entrance. The request is to not have an entrance from Southeast Cherry Blossom Street and to have the only primary entrance be off of the south face or the southern parking area. And the western entrance looks like it's for employees only, kind of an administrative entrance. Public realm, currently the applicant's anticipating a modification request to reduce the ground floor windows on Southeast Cherry Blossom from 40% to 27%. Fence height, due to privacy or desire for privacy, there is a request to allow a taller fence to be less than 50% open. The fence standard says that fences within the setback from to the street may be more than 50% sight obscuring as long as they're less than 3.5 feet tall. But if they're over 3.5 feet tall, they have to be more than 50% transparent or less than 50% sight obscuring. So this would be a request to allow a taller fence to be more opaque. Maximum setback, the modification request to increase the allowed setback from 10 feet to 72 feet on Southeast 102nd Avenue. Public realm, same frontage, the request is to allow vehicles to between a building and a street. The code standard prohibits that. And that is it for today. Do you have any questions for me? Anyone?
Is Cherry Blossom access restricted in terms of number of driveways and things like that?
It's not.
Okay. Right now there's one proposed driveway?
Yes. Right. And I'm not sure, I haven't discussed with the applicant this kind of potential future phase for the north half of the site with the youth programs there. So that was new information, and I don't know what that would mean in terms of access, whether it would require a second driveway or not.
Okay.
So we can talk about that.
What kind of improvements are permitted over the BES? I'm assuming open space and maybe surface parking. Are those permissible over the sewer easement?
That's our understanding.
Okay. So we're going to be building and improving 102nd, and what sort of street standards are involved? Is it curb, gutter, tree lawn, strip, detached sidewalk, all those things, or?
I'm going to direct that to the applicant. At the pre-application conference, that was the direction, was a full build-out of 102nd, but it sounds like that conversation may be more ongoing than I had realized, and so I'm going to let them answer that.
Is the parking lot at the code required setback from the right-of-way line?
I don't have like the dimensions right now.
Like 5 feet?
It is.
Yes. But yeah.
And there's no access proposed from 102nd?
Correct.
Correct.
Okay.
Did I hear it correctly that there was a question from Peabot whether the entrance should be on 102nd for vehicles or Cherry Blossom?
No. Peabot has indicated support for either option. So my question is whether one option seems to be a stronger response to the guidelines.
Is there a security reason for having one point of entrance to the parking lot?
Honestly, we hadn't thought of that.
Okay.
I think that is a good point, though.
Is Cherry Blossom pretty high traffic street?
It is. There is an existing curb cut there now in that location that we're indicating, where Adventist uses that to access a lot where I think they used to park some trucks and such there. My understanding, just to clarify with Hannah, from the EA, PBOT was requiring half street improvements for 102nd, not full or wide enough if we were using it for access. We were at that point not planning to try to use it for access, mostly because we don't think we need it. We think we have a design that works without it, and the cost of improving half of 102nd for the length of that is pretty significant to the client. So we're trying to work with PBOT to see if that can be put off to another time, to when the actual development to Mall 205 would occur, rather than now, when the only access from that street would be onto that property that we're developing.
How does that work? Does money get set in escrow to help pay your half of the street at some point in time in the future? I'm just trying to understand.
Don't know yet. Don't have the answer to that yet.
Is Cherry Blossom a two-way street?
Cherry Blossom is a two-way. It splits just, there is an island kind of.
I'm going to go back up. Keep tracking.
There's an island that splits Cherry Blossom to back to 103rd and 102nd. 102nd is a two-way road, or a two-lane road coming south, and I think two-lane road going north as well. So it's
both of them are two lanes. It almost looks like one lane.
Yeah, it looks like
one
that,
way
but,
traffic,
yeah,
but
it's
not.
It's one way, but two lanes in each direction.
Yeah. So okay, yeah.
So the one going in front of this property would be heading south.
Yeah, it would be a right-in, right-out driveway. And if they took access off 102nd, it would be right-in, right-out off of 102nd also.
But a lot closer to, there's a pass-through street between 102nd and 103rd that doesn't align well with where 102nd turns into our property. And so somebody was coming up 103rd and had to sort of make a U-turn to get it in there. They'd have to go along two lanes or cross two lanes just to make a quick right-hand turn down at the south end of Cherry Blossom. They would they have a longer distance to get over a lane and take a right into the property.
Other questions?
Yes, I did a little bit of clarification about your lobby entrance, this diagonal feature. Mm-hmm. I think in some of your slides you showed that on Cherry Blossom also it's very prominent. It's mm-hmm. obvious.
Yep.
But there's no entry or exit from that street, correct?
Correct, right. That's what our proposal is right now.
So you have this big sort of signifier of the lobby, but mm-hmm. nobody can get in and out.
Right now, correct.
Brian. You began to touch on parking, you know, and rather than reintroduce that, I'm just going to wait until we get into discussion. We'll have a little bit more discussion about that. Shelve that. Is there anyone here to comment, Laura? Okay, great. So because this is a design advice request, we can have fairly open conversation. We will likely ask you, Kevin and Corey, direct questions. You are welcome to respond to them. And we want to be sure that you leave with really clear direction from us. We are today a commission of five, which is more than a quorum. And so when you come back in for your land use review, you will likely receive feedback at that time that is similar to what you will receive today. So it's reliable input today.
Appreciate that.
Okay, so let's organize our conversation in the way that Hannah has outlined for us, and begin with discussing the site plan, and then follow through on public realm, and there are modifications to discuss with each of these. So beginning with entry and egress from Cherry Blossom and 102nd, commissioners, what are your thoughts on this? What does this mean for accessing the site, the likely future redevelopment in the neighborhood, how well this proposal weaves into that future development, what it does for the parking strategy, and what its response to guidelines overall looks like?
I'll chime in. I'm kind of with P, but I'm agnostic as to where the entrance should be necessarily. I mean, it seems like from a circulation perspective, it's very similar conditions. My guess is as 102 gets redeveloped at some point, you might end up with two entrances. I mean, they might actually provide one just for quick in and out, distributing the circulation on two exits. Depends on which direction you're going. I think it's fine the way it's shown. If they negotiate with PBOT their development of or redevelopment of 102. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Site plan issues?
Do you want me to?
Well, yeah. But it's kind of an awkward looking site, and it's, but it's a very awkward program too. And somehow the way it's laid out feels a little awkward with the other two awkward. So, not sure if there's a better place. You know, what this bisecting street here makes it even more difficult, because that means you can't really lay the building out in a linear pattern along Cherry Blossom, which could have been kind of a nice solution, actually. But I suppose you could maybe, you can't even really do pedestrian entrance, and you don't want to, it sounds like.
Yeah, ideally, we're trying to keep the pedestrians to the south so that we're controlling the entrance into the building rather than having multiple points.
From the public realm, that's always really difficult, because there is no public access, and nor does it want to have any public access, nor does it acknowledge any the public in any way, really. So I guess the only other place to look at parking would be down in this area. You know, it's fairly linear, but on the other hand, you've got that nice grove of trees, and it does make sense to kind of save that. It strikes me that an entrance to the parking off of 102nd might be more satisfactory than trying to negotiate this one, which is kind of an awkward place to enter the site, and a lot of people are probably going to miss it, frankly. But that implies doing improvements to 102nd, which could be an issue, I guess. And also, could the building extend maybe out to 102nd instead of just having parking wrapping around the two sides of the building? Have you looked at that possibility?
We looked at it. We're trying to meet a parking requirement that our client would like to have of 120 spots. Right now, we're actually below that. There's a fair amount of coming and going from the site with the outpatient program. So that's why we sort of turned the building to provide that, but also to create some privacy to that inner courtyard and wrap that. We've done it in some of the other studies, we had done it more or less, but we felt that this was the most successful of all of them.
There's also an effort to try to internally keep the building as compact as we can, and it's already 370 feet long, and extending it another 70 feet kind of makes it...
Well, that's 370 feet from...
Approximately, yeah.
The full site is about 459, so without Cherry Blossom.
I thought Zuri landed on an interesting little point, because this does really read as an entrance, but it's not an entrance, so I think it'd be good to maybe make clear that it's not an entrance.
Okay.
On the other hand, running a spine is kind of a nice feature, except you had a dead end on the darn thing. You might take a look at this feature and see if there's another way to orient it. Makes more sense from a programmatic standpoint.
Right. I guess the question that we wanted to talk about is, would the commission be okay with not having an entrance there?
Let's come back to that when we get to public realm. I think that's going to be crucial in our public realm discussion.
Yeah. Okay.
I did some mental noodling about this, and I can appreciate a lot of the conclusions you guys came to, because it is a really pretty difficult site. I was imagining the entire building flipped so the courtyard was facing south and try to push the parking up into the pinched part of the site, which is not really very efficient. But at the end of the day, that's not doing any better job of meeting the Gateway District guidelines than the site plan that we have at hand. I was struck that it seems like the building and the parking got sited, and then what was left over became open space, as opposed to thinking of open space as a real critical component and kind of more integrated closer into the courtyard. But I think that sewer easement just really makes organizing things really a challenge. And I'm kind of torn. I think we're pushing the building up against Cherry Blossom to try to meet the spirit of street wall, urban street wall. Yet, like my two commissioners have said, you can't get in the building there. We need to have some privacy. I was wondering about maybe it should shove itself over closer to 102nd and have just go ahead and give up on a street wall against Cherry Blossom. But, you know, I haven't come to any conclusion whether that's better or worse. I can appreciate the compact efficiency of the parking lot wrapping up there. It does seem like those loading spaces would be handy to access from 102nd if you didn't have to do a hammerhead turn and drive all the way back out through the parking lot. But that's going to be tied to whether or not you have to improve 102nd. So I can appreciate the way it's laid out right now. So I'm kind of torn about what could be done to, I think this kind of facility is unique. And, most of the patients and most of the activity are going to come from the parking lot, not from somebody walking up on 100 and, or on a Cherry Blossom. So I don't know. I don't have any brilliant thoughts.
Okay. Zuri, your preliminary thoughts?
Well, I had exactly the same thoughts that Brian did. And I'm familiar with Cherry Blossoms because many years ago I was involved in developing the the community center that's nearby, and then also Cherry Blossom Park further out. And, you know, this area is just the kind of buildings that are there, except for this, I think that's the senior housing, the collection of housing that are there.
Yeah, there's some assisted living. There's some assisted living, right.
I mean, they're all medically related, and because of their requirements, they really don't respond to any kind of urban design guidelines. So, and this building has another one. My main thing was, well, if this building needs a courtyard and that's important and it needs to be more introverted than extroverted because of the requirement, wouldn't it be nice if it was south facing? But then I had the same thing, you know. How do you do that? So I think right now in terms of entrance to the parking, I think Cherry Blossom is the right place, because who knows when 102nd is going to be fully developed and or that whole area would be developed. You know, they've been talking about Mall 205 being developed for the past 20 years and nothing has happened there. So we don't know. So one question that I have is, so you must have thought this adding the youth section in the future has to fall somewhere in the north. Would it be sort of, do they have to be connected, these two buildings, or could we, is it intended to be totally separate building?
That's our intent at the moment, yes. Okay. It's okay. Only approximately 10,000 square feet.
So it would be, so all of it would facility. Be north of the Yamhill,
yes.
Correct?
Yep.
And would that affect the removal of those gorgeous trees?
Potentially.
Wow.
But that's, we've been focusing on the current program more than the future program,
right.
For sure.
No, I understand that, yeah.
In my mind, that would help at least have the buildings address the open space and begin to enclose it with the two buildings. It could be a positive.
Yeah.
Julie, can I? I thought you were just asking about the entrance to the parking, so I didn't address anything else, and it seems like we're kind of going broader than that.
Yeah, site plan.
Site plan design rather than just entrances to parking. I agree with a lot of the things that were said. I mean, particularly, but once you consider all the restrictions, and particularly that sewer, which just dissects the property in half. I still think that the current design seems to make sense to me. I would agree with you that if you flip it, it would make better sense for that courtyard. But on the other hand, it wouldn't have that direct connection with the other more expansive outdoor space, which I think is also seems important for the program that they're trying to develop. Totally agree with Zeri on the fact that you're signifying an entrance on Cherry Blossom, but it's not an entrance on Cherry Blossom, but my then question is, why couldn't it be an entrance from Cherry Blossom? Particularly if you change the program, and again, I'm meddling in your affairs probably more than I should, but the reality is that you've got a fair amount of program, which is administrative, on this. Where is it? There it is. Yeah. On this side of the building, and you got the stuff that can't really access, I mean, that needs privacy on this side of the building. And even if you didn't have an entrance directly through here, that doesn't mean that this couldn't signify more the open to the public space. You know, it is the end. On your planning on this end of it, you have your admission and stuff, but then you also have a place where people get visiting. If I read the plan correctly, visiting happens around here. So it seems to me that if you could switch this program to this location or a combination of these locations, continue with your transversal element that could be or not an entrance, it could be, you have to resolve that, and then set some of the small private requirements to the back of the building, which is, it seems like it would resolve half the problems in terms of ground floor windows, And maybe they don't want to be on the on Cherry Blossom, which is kind of busy. But, you know, I think
that's a very good point. And I'll maybe just let you in on some of the conversation we had around that, because we did talk about that quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
This also goes back to why we had shown the three-story scheme and we had admin upstairs. One of the issues between the admin and the rest of the building is that there needs to be a clear separation between them. And why we have a separate entrance off the side. Interaction between client and staff needs to be organized and can't be random. One of the concerns about putting admin on the right-hand side close to Cherry Blossom is it becomes part of an entry sequence and they're sharing entry sequence and there's interaction that maybe we're not controlling. By putting it on the west, where we know staff is parking, and farthest from the main entry where we know clients would be parking or could be parking, allows them to have a very distinct area of the building where there's not any cross circulation. And so that was a fairly important feature for the client.
But it almost seems like your transversal element is the dividing, is the organizing element and could be the dividing element. You could also have entrance. You could have a separate entrance there if really there needs to be an absolute separation. All I'm saying is that programmatically, it seems like, I think, massing-wise, I think it makes sense. I think programmatically, it seems like it needs to be switched.
You know, on your idea, Sam, if a thing went like this, and it addressed directly 102nd, and you brought your access from 102nd, it's basically saying if this rotated this way and it was scooted this way, so your sequence was the public part of it. If you're coming off of here, your public parking is the first thing, and this would be staff and administrative parking at the other end, which would be at the end of it. It might minimize that cross.
Yeah, I'm sensitive to the 102nd improvement and the cost of that. So, you know, working with that and the sewer and all these other things.
So, anyway. Kevin, tell us a little bit more about your conversations, or Corey, tell us a little bit more about your conversations with PBOT. When you think you will have a more definitive response from the Bureau about 102nd and what your obligations are, what Paul's obligations are there?
To be honest, I can't give you a timeline on that. I don't know. We have our discussions at this point have been very minimal. So we haven't really engaged.
I'm not. Okay, good to know. So I'm not hearing from any commissioner that you are really delivering a strong guideline response with response to site planning issues. And then you are also asking for a long list of modifications. And so this is challenging. This is a hard project. You got a tough program, you got a tough site, right? And obviously there's a tight budget that you need to respond to. My concern is that what you're gonna get from PBOT is not what you want. And if that's the case, then the design response is a different design response. It seems to me that whether or not you can bring cars in off of 102nd, and control the amount of square footage that parking consumes is really critical to this building's response to its context.
I would agree with that. Sure.
So that's a major concern, because you may be back in with a design advice request with a different scheme, right? I mean, things could change dramatically depending on what you hear from PBOT. Commissioners, we had a proposal, a design advice request, a couple of weeks ago in this same neighborhood. You know, also medical program and a fairly small building on a fairly generous site was not meeting all guidelines and asking for a number of modifications. There are a lot of similarities. Some of the advice that we provided to that applicant was be really thoughtful about the modifications you request. So respond to all of the guidelines that you have the ability to respond to and frame your modifications really carefully so that you can be assured of success on your modifications. And the long list of modifications, you know, where one modification results from not being able to meet a guideline and having to request a modification to, you know, work around these standards, when it's just this cascade, there is less and less opportunity for a successful response to guidelines, and two, you know, any kind of guarantee that all of the modifications are going to be well received and approvable. And given the sort of lukewarm response that you're hearing, I'm worried that you don't have everything you need as far as this goes. Also, I will toss into the mix the pedestrian path at the south end of the site. Is a great idea, but a pedestrian path is, you know, it's not right of way, and yet it wants to function like right of way because it's peopled with people, bicycles, strollers, all the good stuff that we want on that pedestrian path. And in this case, the property to the immediate south is currently all parking lot. And then immediately north on this site, it's all parking lot. And that's a pretty unpleasant 459 linear feet. So as far as the development of that pedestrian path goes and its contribution to the public realm and to neighborhood access, it's not successful. What do commissioners think about the modification to increase the setback along 102nd from 10 feet to 70 feet to allow for parking in that area?
I feel like I'd like to know the answer to the PBOT question first, whether, because if 102nd is going to become an accessway, an improved street, a response could be to not put parking between the building there, and the trade-off might be to allow parking to the east end of the site as an alternative response. So it's a little bit hard to kind of mm-hmm. just say yes or no.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So 102nd, even though it's not currently well improved, it is a right of way.
Well, and potentially it's going to be a pretty nice right of way. Fairly quiet, and it's going to hook into the pedestrian path, light rail, and that whole thing. It almost seems
all currently right of way.
It's not. How much of it is? How far south?
So between Yamhill South, that part was vacated years ago.
Okay.
PBOT is telling us that we need to dedicate back the part that was vacated.
Okay.
Between Yamhill and the south property line of our site.
And is there any negotiation on that? Are you definitely giving that land up?
We weren't planning to negotiate that.
Okay.
We didn't think we had much negotiation there. There's a lot of things we can negotiate, and we chose to try to negotiate 102nd, the cost of that.
Is that going to hook onto Main Street at some point?
Yeah.
No, just with a pedestrian path. There would, even per the plan that Hannah showed, there will only ever be a pedestrian path. So that will always be a dead-end street or potentially to new development at Mall 205.
It starts to make sense for you to use because you have a very private use for this particular project, and maybe moving the building further over to that quiet street and maybe putting some parking in here, which is totally dead anyway, might make sense. There'll be a flip again of a bit of your utilization of your
and Don, that is project. That is the route. If somebody did want to take a long walk to the light rail station, they would use Main Street and come up that.
Yeah. And then they'd be able to enter this building, so maybe the entrance doesn't want to be back there. It wants to be kind of in this area.
Closer to that area.
Hook into that pedestrian path.
I'm a little bit concerned in this diagram that without knowing about that PBOT decision, there's no provision for extension of that. But, well, I'm jumping into public realm. Sorry.
Yeah. So this is all very connected to public realm. Because this really does influence where the building is placed and the frontage on Cherry Blossom as well as 102nd, how the building is accessed. So you guys started it. What do you want to add?
To the public realm?
Mm-hmm.
So as I understand it, Cherry Blossom is a pretty fast-moving street. It's not a pedestrian-oriented street at all. Is that sort of the role it plays in the neighborhood?
Well, none of the streets over there are.
Yeah, but this is the only one that kind of has a chance of becoming that.
Hannah had a slide there in the opening thing with all the classifications for Cherry Blossom.
I believe the speed limit's 30.
Yeah, 30, city bike
35
way.
35, actually.
Major transit.
The speed limit on Cherry Blossom is 35, and yeah. Traffic moves at 45.
45, yeah. At least. Yeah. So it's a pretty inhospitable pedestrian environment, no matter what you do.
That's right? True. Mm-hmm.
So insofar, I guess people don't really use it much, do they, as pedestrians?
There isn't currently a sidewalk at all. So there is there's a pretty well-worn dirt path. Uh-huh. So enough people are using it to wear a path on the side. But
will this project be putting a sidewalk in on Cherry Blossom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But it doesn't go anywhere, right? It hits the adjacent property and stops. Right in this area, too?
No, it continues down Cherry Blossom. There's a sidewak actually, there now. Yeah.
There's also sort of a well-worn path across approximately where the Yamhill Street right-of-way is. It's unclear. It crosses the site approximately there. It's unclear where those people are going. There are some campsites on 102nd.
There's currently a few homes there.
Issues that Hannah raised. Well. I want to be sure that we address issues that Hannah raised. And she tied in well to the request for modifications. Modification for not having a transit street main entrance off of Cherry Blossom. Relief on ground floor windows along Cherry Blossom. An opaque fence, more than 50% opaque, that is taller than currently allowed by the development code along Cherry Blossom. Then the setback from 10 feet to 70 feet on 102nd and the presence of vehicles between 102nd and the building wall. Any of those modifications that commissioners want to comment on, and then broader public realm issues as well?
I'll comment on the fence real quick. I mean, I think in principle, I don't have a problem with it. I think it's supportive of a program that's important and you need to have it. I think how you do it is, you know, the devil's in the details as usual. You know, the grove of trees, keeping it is fantastic. I mean, even if it goes away later on, that's a future problem. But I think the location of that fence, and it can't be just an L3, you know, landscaping. It has to be something a little bit more robust than a fence that is somewhat pleasing, so that new sidewalk that's going to be built is something that it's not a horrible walk. Probably better today than it would be if you just put a fence on it right on the edge and you just walked along a fence. So I think, in principle, I don't have a problem with it. I just think it needs to be how it's done.
I agree, Sam.
Yeah, I had written down that so the fence is going to be a design challenge. So
yeah, it's definitely not. Yeah.
Make it, instead of being a negative for the neighborhood, it can become at least something of interest and be well landscaped at the same time.
I would put it out there that the I would be willing to consider the modification number 3 and number 4 for the programmatic reasons that they state. But I think 6 and 7 are related to this question of the PBOT decision and 102nd and the things Dawn has said. If that gets improved, that opens up another whole set of things with the site plan, the access.
I agree with that too.
And that could free up some of the ground floor window modification issues on Cherry Blossom, also more of the administrative ended up flipping over in that area.
What you're saying, if there's a larger setback away from Cherry Blossom, there's not quite the need for the fritting or whatever privacy things you need to do to the windows and stuff. You could do layered landscape in it.
And also maybe an administrative flip if they make the main entry off 102nd is well worth looking at.
Yeah, I would agree.
That gets rid of that modification request. And
if you flip the building and move it to 102nd, don't you have the same setback, potentially the same setback and vehicles between building and street on Cherry Blossom? Would that be better than 102nd, or would we be looking at extending the building between the two streets,
kind of
doesn't
sort of
create our courtyard?
No, that's a good question. And
No, you wouldn't have it between. You'd have it on the end between two adjacent pieces of property.
No, but if you look at the, can you put the plan up? I think what he's saying is that right now that's the modification, right? That's the modification. So if you push it over there, that modification now occurs on this side.
Right. And you're parking against this property line and against the building, and you can kind of moderate it against.
I see what you're saying, Don. It's not technically in front of it. It's to the side of it. Yeah. Okay. Does that?
I don't know. Is
I mean, what's your interpretation of that, Hannah?
That's a good point.
I would double check it to make sure that the permit reviewer would have the same interpretation as our team. But I think that I see what you're saying, that it looks like there's an argument to say that the parking is between the side property line and the street.
Yeah.
And with a diagonal street, I think we could probably work it.
Yeah.
Well, it's behind the pedestrian path and what's going on there. It seems like it's...
It looks like it would be pretty simple to design that in a way that would not require a modification.
Whereas this is a major one right here, it goes for quite a distance, 150 feet, 20 feet.
Could I add one fact to the conversation about 102nd, just so I make sure I get all my facts out on the table? Our understanding, Home Depot currently has a lease that expires in 2020 or 2022, but has 8 5-year options, so potentially 43 years of control of that property. And of a store that our understanding does really well. And so I don't know how that affects the conversation, but or how it'll affect our conversation with PBOT, but that's our understanding of the surroundings.
Let me ask you a quick question on the pedestrian path, the connection. That's required by PBOT?
PBOT is, in order to allow us to vacate Yamhill or to support that vacation, they require a pedestrian path. Somewhere on site to connect. We went to the south because we felt it connected with the two existing paths that were there without bringing somebody up half of 102nd to come across the site, but also put that pedestrian connection through the center of, you know, what is ideally a private space, rather than having a outdoor courtyard space that was bisected with a public circulation path that sort of causes big issues with the confidentiality and privacy of the program.
So I guess I'm a little bit of where you are on, you know, you got this path, parking, and then parking here. Now something's going to eventually happen on this site, but you know, most likely it's going to be parking. You know, on both sides of that.
Yeah, that's a really disagreeable environment.
So I guess my question is wouldn't it be better? I mean, obviously this is not our call, it's PBOT's call.
Yeah.
So,
but right.
Maybe we can influence that. Is that, I mean, I think, sorry, I lose it. This is the real important connection. And this, I mean, it doesn't have to be as broad. It could be narrower. It could be, you know, more of a servicing type, you know, with more landscape. I don't know.
It's probably Sam being requested to be designed to multi-use path standards,
mm-hmm.
which are typically 12 minimum to 14 to 15.
It just seems an exaggeration to put that there where, I mean, there will be a connection, there could be a connection, but I think the most important connection is to the current paths.
If I could jump in just a bit, the requirement that we were told by PBOT was that it would be a 30-foot easement with a 15-foot path, so 15 feet of landscaping. In addition, the parking lot to the south has landscaping with a row of pretty mature trees along that edge, and then we'll have landscaping between the path and our parking lot. So I think there's quite a depth of landscaping that'll buffer the pedestrians from parked vehicles.
I actually looked on Google Street View, and there are pretty mature grove of trees there on that adjacent property. It wasn't like the parking was right up next to it.
Could we go back to those set of modifications, please? The slide.
Brian's on the record as being, I think, on board with no main entrance from the transit street. And also a reduction to ground floor windows.
I support that. I supported that too.
And I also supported Sam's comment on the fence. Number five.
So for me, all of these, any modification, especially of this magnitude, there needs to be an overwhelming better ideas or better public benefits that would justify even the three of them that some of my colleagues have approved. And based on what I see, that's not enough justification. There isn't enough justification to do that. And there are two streets. One would become major, who knows, 20 years from now or 5 years from now. Things can change. And Cherry Blossom. And then there are these, all the limitations, programmatic limitations that imposes that. So there needs to be something else. And we're all sitting here trying to come up with ideas how we could fix it. It's not our job to fix it, really. My issue is that this is too much modifications, and given the guidelines that we have for public RAM, as far as I'm concerned, none of them are going to be okay for me at this point.
And, you know, I agree with Zeri. The guidelines for context, for public realm, and at this point, given what we know about quality and permanence, and I'm focusing there on guideline B3, design for coherency, they are not met on balance with the current scheme. And so until there is a design that presents a significant betterment to the guidelines, I'm not there either. Guideline C4, develop complementary parking areas. That the language in that guideline actually says wrap the parking with spaces that are habitable by people. The guidelines in for this district are really clear. A2, enhance visual and physical connections. There is really clear language about transitions from public space to private space and pedestrian comfort and safety. Guideline C1, provide opportunities for active uses at major street intersections. That guideline is all about benefits to the pedestrian environment. And then guideline B3, design for coherency, that's not just a building issue, it's a site planning issue as well. And right now, I'm not seeing a really compelling case for the number of modifications that are requested.
Okay. Yeah, I think several of these are supportable. Transit street main entrance, maybe there's something to be worked with there. The fence height and visibility, I think that one. I'm having a hard time with ground floor windows, number 4, 6, maximum setback modification, and also the vehicles between the building and the street, particularly that one. So there's just too many modifications, I think. It can be handled a different way. And I think take a good look at one of the 102nd, that could be answer some of your issues. And we'll probably never get there without some modifications on this one.
But I think some of the major questions specifically related to 102nd should be answered before we could even get to a really reasonable conversations about unbalanced. Does this make sense? Does this meet the guidelines? And that needs to be figured out. So, I mean, if the street is improved 102nd, but it's going to remain half of it, it's going to be the back of the building for the next 20 years, that's not achieving.
That's not what?
It's not achieving the guidelines.
Amazon may start delivering 2x4s by by mail or who knows what, you know.
The you hit on an interesting point. If Home Depot does stay there for 40 years, this project gets built without doing any improvements to 102nd. What is ever going to do improvements to 102nd? Even a pedestrian connection to get up to where it intersects with Cherry Blossom would help, because it is designated as an important connector in the Gateway Plan District. So
I'm going to interrupt really quick. So this is 102nd now.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a connection there, whether it's, you know, up to any sort of public standards is debatable, but there's something there. So I think the quandary is that if the applicant doesn't need access from 102nd and no one else needs access from 102nd, do we really need to pay to develop 102nd at this point? Since PBOT has indicated support for access from either street, it's really just whether we feel that this is the only way to meet the guidelines is to start to look more at this frontage. And that's the challenge today.
Well, one of the things that I was thinking of, maybe in the next 10 years or whatever, the 102nd, nothing's going to happen there. Is it possible this site plan could be developed in such a way that allows for the future expansion to have, to be close to 102nd and take advantage and become the catalyst for then development of that area? But that doesn't seem to be in the offing given the site plan. So it's just very difficult.
So Kevin and Corey, talk about that a little bit, because it does, you know, the developable area that remains for future development is at the point. And you spoke a little bit about looking at a three-story scheme versus a two-story scheme. The three-story scheme presumably would also preserve a building pad where the parking is currently located adjacent to 102nd. That could be a large enough land area that could be the future development. But there's something constraining the proposal right now that is keeping it at two stories.
Building type and cost per square foot of that those building type differences. So it's really
what are the two different building types?
Well, the two-story building, we can have a type 5 building with our areas, so we can efficiently build for the needs of the program and who they're serving. You know, they're trying to serve, I think they're a third of the people that they serve are homeless. You know, it's a need, and it's especially a need out there. So there's a budget, and we're trying to be real to that, which is it's a big discussion about 102nd. I can't argue really with any of the discussions about access from there. My argument is that length of 500 feet or plus of 102nd for this one site
for a dead
and
end.
The cost for a dead end for the cost of that, which if we're going to do that, we're not just doing half a street. We're essentially doing a whole street. So we're even doing most of what the neighboring property would really be responsible for. So the cost of that is so prohibitive to our budget. That's why, you know, we're having the discussion. And I appreciate the fact that we have a lot of modifications. We knew that coming in. We came in because we know we have all these constraints, and we wanted to be able to have a dialogue about what it means for these and what the challenges are for them. So we very much, you know, appreciate the conversation around it. So
I want to be sure that each commissioner has the opportunity to kind of wrap up their comments with a neat little bow for the applicant, so that you guys know exactly where every commissioner stands. I'll begin with this. I think you need fewer modifications. And you need to stage those modifications well so that they make the most sense that they can, given the constraints that you face. If access remains from Cherry Blossom, and I absolutely understand that is likely, and I'm going to keep my fingers crossed that that happens for you and for this project, then I'm still going to struggle with the amount of parking and with how the parking is distributed along the south property line, because I even though there are mature trees on the other property, I think that that's a tough sell. And then it also leads to something that we will discuss in more in the land use review than in the design advice request. The space that you called the hearth, the spine that is the organizing element of the building plan, that is a really strong geometry. And as a building organizational tool, it's brilliant. But I don't see why, I don't see how that organizing element is tying into the site design, because basically it just kind of lands in some parking. So what does the site development then need to do to really make that a rational architectural party? And I would, carry that all the way around to the employee entrance that's from the smaller parking lot, which I'm always going to have trouble with, that smaller parking lot, and that the request for the modifications associated with that.
Okay, I'll go next then. I think I'm a little bit more on board, as I stated before, in terms of some of the modifications that you're asking for. I'm supportive. I think it's not my problem. The way I see it, it's really how it gets developed. I would agree that the spine kind of goes to nowhere, and that probably needs to be looked at. I do think the spine could be more of an element of transparency into what is otherwise a building that is not transparent. So I get the juxtaposition, trying to create it as an element of transparency. In the only place you can do it, within the programmatic limitations of the building. I still think that you guys need to consider the programmatic changes, because I think that would solve half your problems. But that's really up to you guys. We're not into programming your buildings. Mm-hmm. Or at least I'm not. And I think, given the site restrictions with the easement, the BES easement, I think your decisions are logical. So they make sense. I just think, and I don't have a problem with the parking either. I mean, I think you need it. I mean, it's a site, it's an interesting site. It's an interesting neighborhood. I mean, the problem here is that sites are really large. It wants to be urban, but it's really not urban. And so we're trying to cram in some, and I get it. Those are the guidelines, but the guidelines almost seem like they're for some of these sites and some of these uses, they're out of place. And it's a need that needs to be met, and it's something that's important to have. And God knows we have a problem with drug addiction, but that's not our issue in the city, and homelessness, and we need to address it somehow. So I think eventually this neighborhood will develop some more, and some other things will happen. I personally think that PBOT's requirement to have a 15-foot right-of-way in the south is ridiculous. I mean, I think it could be something more modest, but maybe along the axis of those something more modest that could be more of an organic pedestrian walkway around the site would be probably better, because for 40 years this street won't get improved. So in the meantime, something a little more modest, more useful, would be better. I would be an advocate to PBOT. Be a little bit more lenient in it and not be so rigid about what is the requirement. So you can use those dollars more effectively in connecting the site from a pedestrian walkway. 102nd is going to be a dead end. So why don't you just make it eventually a really good pedestrian or quasi-pedestrian. In the meantime, right now, make it a pedestrian way. I mean, if you could actually get a pathway along this fence, in the photo, it wouldn't be a fence then. Well, it would be a fence, wouldn't it? Just a really nice fence.
I like that.
Really nice, really opaque fence.
Just a really nice fence. But I mean, if you could see a pathway here, which would be, somewhat bike and pedestrian, but a little more modest, I think it'd be better than a 15-foot pedestrian walkway in the back of the building.
Agreed.
Connecting to, it's very small, by the way, because they don't get to improve the connections to Main Street. So that's my two cents. I mean, I think further development will get me there for sure.
Next.
Siri.
Well, I agree that it's a difficult site. I agree that context, the area, it's, its character, it's not, as Sam said, urban. But I have to say that the community, when you talk to them, the neighborhoods, they want it. They look towards having things that would create that sort of urban character, primarily because they want to have attractive, safe public realm. And for me, in this situation, in this case, public realm is very, very critical. And I'm really indifferent in terms of whether you want to use Cherry Blossom or 102nd as your the street that you choose to really achieve almost 100% of the public realm requirements. But at least that needs to be done. And it's not just because of this building, because it has limitation, because it's all, everything that we are doing in these areas are going to be precedent setting. And again, relates to then later on, they establish context and they establish precedent for other building. Well, if it has been done here, why not there? So I'm not gonna tell you what to do. You're far more creative have extensive experience in this than I do, but I'm just trying to tell you what I think you need to do in order to get my vote.
Thank you.
Sure. Well, I think I don't have a whole lot more to add than I've put in thus far, but you know, make the big, broad east-west 30-foot right-of-way. I mean, you could do a nice serpentine path through there or change materials or do something to make it feel a little better than just long 450, is it 500-foot
length? 459.
Yeah, that's a pretty long one. I'm still an advocate of seeing if you can't do a half-street improvement on 102nd. Even though it's dead end now, when the Home Depot site ultimately gets redeveloped, this could be an access point to whatever businesses occur in that space also. So there is a future for it. I understand the cost issues. In terms of your organizing diagram, yeah, I like the slice through the building. I think it does some really nice architectural stuff. Maybe it's in the wrong location. You know, maybe it doesn't want to go all the way up the church. There's something a little bit deceptive about taking this element and making it look like an entryway, but gee, it's really not. So maybe you can work with that in a different location in the building. And as I think we agreed, well, several of us anyway, that if you can minimize your modifications, it probably strengthens your project. And it's worth, at this point, another good look at how you can develop the program to work with the site maybe a little bit more effectively. It's still a bit of an awkward fit into an awkward site, and maybe there's something that could be moved a little bit that kind of gives it, I guess it makes it fit and it feels right. And it doesn't quite feel that way right now. So.
Okay. Could we bring up the site plan? So, like my fellow commissioners, you guys have been very diligent trying to balance a pretty particular program and the guidelines on a very tough shaped site. I'm wondering along two pathways. One of them is the pathway I stated already, that looking at what happens if the building mass maybe rotates this way and establishes an urban street wall against 102nd and allow there to be a side facing parking lot off of Cherry Blossom and see what that reveals. The other one, and I guess I would ask, is see if Hannah could weigh in on this. Maybe you don't have to weigh in on today, but you could weigh on it in the next few days, is what kind of modifications do we trigger if this entire building flips on this axis and it's a south-facing courtyard and the courtyard really is established down here. Parking moves up and takes over the Yamhills right-of-way and occupies the rest of that. I know it's going to be now parking between a building and two streets, but it's interesting that it would put the main entryway on the parking lot and coincidentally more accessible and more visible from Cherry Blossom, who's for somebody who walks from that direction. And I think it would just be an interesting one to compare the modifications with that, with the modifications that we're requesting with this scheme, and see what that does.
Can I do that in the summary notes? Provide a list of what would be.
You would potentially have a courtyard facing south. You wouldn't have parking between it and the south parking lot. It would be the quietest part of the site, farthest away from the noise of the traffic and stuff. And just, I'd just be interested to see how the modifications to that scheme stack up.
So, Kevin and Corey, did you ever look at that site diagram? My guess is you've looked at many that you didn't share with us in the materials.
Yeah, and even some that we did. We looked at, I'll be honest, we looked at a south-facing courtyard at the beginning.
Yeah.
But with that, we still had parking on the south side. So originally, there was a thought of providing a sort of courtyardy garden space that was between the parking and the entry.
Uh-huh.
And our concern with that was about a lot of the folks coming are in need right away and not providing a long walkway to get to the front door from where they were coming, and so having a close drop off. And so we took that and put it into the interior courtyard, that space, so that then it could be used by the building. We haven't looked at how we can fit parking on the north side of the site. That has a pretty dramatic slope to it of about 15 feet. And getting the courtyard and the outdoor space on the south side of the building, like all of it. We haven't looked at flipping that entire thing, no. We're limited, obviously we can't push the building any far sort of more north. When we flip it, we would still be left with the same amount of area, and then therefore that basically the parking would go to the courtyard space. And so instead of a sort of an extension, it'd be a longer, more linear courtyard. But
I see. We also did look at a scheme where the parking was essentially on Yamhill. And I think the reason we went away from that was because it bifurcates the site in such a way that the program and the occupants are on the south side, and there's a parking lot, and then there's the really beautiful trees that we're trying to take advantage of. And it kind of disallowed us from using that as an outdoor space for the client groups.
Let me ask you, do you have a deliberate program for all of that square footage of open space, both the courtyard and the finger poking all the way up into there?
We're starting the exercise of going through the courtyard design right now. And in 2 weeks, we have our first really sort of walkthrough. Initial discussions have been about a variety of program that needs to go out there. There needs to be active space. There needs to be contemplative space. There needs to be group space because they have a lot of group meetings and it would be good to have them. And there needs to be ideally a path space so that somebody could sort of wander while staying within the confines, right? So what we were looking at doing, and it's sort of an initial thought of just really an idea, was utilizing the slope to carve some space so that you could provide sort of a sunken area that's protected from the street because it's sunken down and you still have the fence, but where you could do the gathering and then be able to provide a sort of walkway up around that and then provide some active space closer to the building. And so that was going to be sort of the programming of it, exactly where it all fits and how it falls. And, you know, that's a big study of itself. But, you know, I think it would be interesting to look at trying to get to the parking on the north side of the site. I think one of our concerns with that originally was, you know, the cherry blossom is, you know, you're coming around that corner. You're coming around that corner and that's the first thing you see of that site. And so even if you're coming from the south, there's other buildings and the way the street is curving, you don't see that site all that well. So when you're coming south, having the parking there to us felt like in our original thoughts, just not a great place to try to put the parking at the top edge of the site, right as you're entering sort of and coming down the hill.
Agreed, but there's going to be an opaque wall there no matter what, right? Either it's garden space or it's parking space. So you get to keep the trees with garden space. Mm-hmm. Is there a way to develop the parking and also maintain the trees? It sounds like Corey's looked at that and maybe not. And it's something, next time you're in, we're going to ask, right? Because that may be a different set of modifications. It may be a lesser set of modifications. It may be easier to get there in the context of the guidelines. So no doubt we're going to ask.
Yeah, without a doubt. We can look at that.
And what do you have, 120 parking spaces?
114 in the current trial.
Yeah. That's a lot of parking.
It's
Primarily, staff will be using parking and guests, I would guess.
There's outpatient that's coming and going throughout the day and coming just for the day and spending the day. So there's a pretty big parking need.
Yeah.
And certainly, that's the most efficient way to do the parking, just line them up on the longest property line you have.
You got grade on the narrow side, which is working against you too.
Oh, I know. As you get up,
as you get up into the intersection of 102nd.
Brian, we hijacked your closing comments. Anything else
no,
you want
that
to
was
add?
It.
All
that
good.
Was it.
Okay. Hannah, did we cover everything from your perspective?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely covered everything. I'm going to have to sort through it again. So I will summarize all of this in notes that I will send to all of you to make sure that I've accurately captured your sentiments and statements, and then I will send them to you so that we all have an official record going forward.
Okay. Kevin and Corey, so you got a lot of feedback. I don't know that it's direction, but it's feedback because there are more discussions to be had with PBOT.
Sure.
We have no influence over PBOT. You know this. And yet, if you want a name drop in your conversations with them, do it. If there's anything we can do to help you get to the right outcome, which will then deliver a really solid design response, let us know.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
appreciate your
you
time,
bet.
Everybody.
You bet. Tim Heron?
Yeah. Kevin, what do you want to do next? Like, I'm asking, thinking about the schedule, if you want to return. I mean, I know you want to take a break, but I want to poke a little bit. I mean, what's your schedule?
To be honest, I'll have to get back to you on that. I think it's obviously it's going to depend on this conversation with PBOT.
More. When is that? Do you have that date set?
We don't have a date set.
And you're bringing Hannah to that or more?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it would be helpful to have some people that were in this room there.
Let's talk about that in the coming weeks.
Our schedule's booked through May 16th.
Okay.
So if it's something where you're thinking about some kind of return or some kind of, we have A, B, C, and D site things and variables, we'll want to get you on as soon as possible. There's a little bit of a push on, we're scheduling extra dates as it is.
Sure. Okay.
Do you think that should be a date on the calendar right now?
No, I think at this point, I mean, knowing it's that far out, we have plenty, we'll repost if we want to do it. It sounds like there needs to be some deep thinking and maybe a meeting or two that might help determine next steps, whether or not you need it.
I think we want to have an answer, to be honest with you, before we were to come back.
That's where I'm
because
thinking.
I think it's going to have a big impact. And we knew coming in we didn't have that answer, but we wanted to have the conversation. So
just checking. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, all good. Commissioners, before we adjourn, I want to remind you that our hearing date on April 4th has been pulled. We will not have hearings on April 4th. So you got 2 weeks off. Yeah.
Well,
so, yeah.
So,
see you on
well,
April
some
11th.
Of you do. But yeah, that's why I wanted to. that's why I wanted to take a moment at the end of the hearing. So April 4th is canceled. But Brian, you and I have a date on that day for lunch.
Yep.
I'm also meeting with Julie and Sam later that afternoon on another matter.
Yep.
Yes, I did. I also wanted to prompt, in particularly because we just made quorum for one of the items that's returning on April 11th, and that's the One Pacific Square. For those of you that were here then, which were just Don, Julie, and Sam, and forgive me, Zara, you were here.
Oh, Zara was here.
Forgive me, right. Right. I couldn't keep track. There were so many commissioners in the room. It was Landmarks commissioners, design commissioners. Forgive me, Zeri. I need to make sure that either Brian or Jessica attend that meeting and review the tapes for that date because Sam will not be able to sit for that item. So we need a quorum. We'll need four. So we need someone to be Sam. And I'll talk with you, Brian and Jessica. It doesn't necessarily need to be both of you. So, thank you.
Okay, that's great. It is 3 minutes after 4, and we are adjourned. Hannah's got her hand up.
One last comment.
We're still open.
It's okay. We don't have to be on the record. But I just wanted to let you know that the Pepsi plan development that was originally scheduled for today, I apologize for the late notice that we all received about the postponement. Please do hold on to your packets. I will figure out a way to slip sheet and send you some sort of really clear memo that tells you which pages to swap out with which new pages, but that way we can avoid having another 100-page submittal.
Thick and expensive set of
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you for your patience with that. I don't have a lot of information about what happened. It was just, it sounds like they had some unforeseen issues come up and they really didn't feel like they were prepared to have a good constructive conversation yet.
Okay. It happens. Thank you very much, Hannah. We are adjourned.